O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. Amen. I have a couple quick announcements, in a sense, before we actually get started with the sermon proper. Because this is a slightly odd Sunday, and I want to make sure everybody's on the same page. This is our stewardship in gathering and celebration Sunday, as well as the last Sunday of ordinary time after Pentecost, which is sometimes referred to colloquially as Christ the King Sunday. I just want to make sure that you know what's going on. You'll find within your bulletin a pledge card. And we've been sending out letters. You've probably gotten one from one of your fellow parishioners. Hopefully you've gotten one from me by now. We've kind of been building towards this Sunday, and you may have been looking for your pledge card in one of those letters, and it wasn't there, because we'd really like you to fill the pledge card out during this service, and we'll take them up during the collection and so the offering. So that's why you have it there. You don't have to fill it out right now, but we'd really like you to, because we've got to put together a budget. If you really feel uncomfortable about filling it out during this service, you can wait and take it home and then send it back to us or bring it by the church. But the hope is that it will be part of your worship this morning to prayerfully consider what you will give in the coming year to sustain the ministries of this church, this your church, your parish family. So one more note about that, and I'll reiterate this when it comes time to for the offering. During that time, right after the exchange of peace, that's when you'll be invited to go ahead and fill out your pledge card, and you'll have the option of bringing it. There will be a basket on the altar, bringing it forward and putting it in the basket, or you can wait until after I give the offertory sentence and the plates come around, and you can just put it in the plate if you don't feel comfortable bringing it up to the altar as your gift. But I just wanted to make sure you all were all on the same page there. And of course, there is going to be there's a catered lunch after the service in the parish house. Many of you have put in an order, and so we've got what you've ordered. For those of you who didn't put in an order, don't worry, we've picked up some extra lunches, and so there will be something for you to eat. So please do come over, even if you didn't put in an order. And just to be clear, you still get lunch even if you don't pledge. Pledging is not your ticket to lunch. The lunch is just in celebration and thanksgiving for you and all that you do for this church. All right, business aside, let's focus on the sermon. Over the past 3 weeks, this being the third week, we've been talking about giving thanks, and two Sundays ago I talked about giving thanks for this church, obviously the church with a capital C, but more specifically the church as we know it, which is this parish congregation, this parish family. Last week we talked about giving thanks for Scripture, for the words that are the words of everlasting life, that teach us what it means to be a community that gives thanks, to be a community that is determined by Jesus Christ and our response of thanksgiving to what God has done for us in Christ. And so it seems natural to me that this, on this third Sunday of the theme of Thanksgiving and our final one before the holiday of Thanksgiving, and the Sunday that is known as Christ the King Sunday, that we talk about giving thanks for Jesus Christ, for what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Because that is at the center of who we are, our identity, as individual Christians who have been baptized into his body and marked as Christ's own forever, and as a community, a church, a parish family, a congregation that is a part of the larger church, which just is the body of Christ. We are a people of thanksgiving, a people who give thanks for what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. And I know that y'all hear this from me a lot. I mean, it's probably every single sermon that at some point I say something about how God has loved you so much that his love became flesh for you and lived, died, and was raised for you. Because I think that is the central message of our faith. And that we forget it the moment we walk through those doors and go out into the world. I mean, we might know it as a rational proposition, but we forget it as an existential truth that determines our lives. We forget it as the most important thing that we should know at every moment of our day. And we don't live a life of thanksgiving. But that is who we are. We're a people who give thanks. And we're a people who give thanks because of the incredible thing God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And we can see this in the second reading that we had this morning from the letter to the Colossians. This text just lays it right out there for us. Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, through whom all things were created, in whom all things hang together. This man, this human being, who only lived 30-some years, 2,000 years ago in a place that many of us have never visited, is the firstborn of all creation, in whom all things, including us ourselves, our very lives, participate, come into existence. It's an incredible claim that we as Christians make. And I know that there's a story, some of you, if you've read any of these books by modern New Testament scholars will sometimes suggest, these books will, that this kind of what's known as high Christology developed late in the church. But here we are, we see it in the letter to the Colossians. A letter that went to people who may have been alive at the same time as Jesus. People who could go and meet and talk to other folks who actually knew Jesus before his crucifixion. And they make the most exalted claims, claims that are echoed in our creeds about who this Jesus is. God made flesh for us and for our salvation. It's an incredible, incredible claim. It's a claim that I think we have a hard time really believing. Even the most faithful of us, I think. Because if we ever stop and we think about Jesus not as, this kind of fairy tale figure who lived once upon a time or a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, but as an actual historical person, who sweated in the heat of the day, who after a long day of healing and teaching and traveling throughout the Galilee, collapsed in exhaustion upon his bed and fell into a deep sleep and dreamed dreams just like all of us. A person who may have had toothaches. I don't think dental hygiene was all that great in first century Galilee. Who maybe got crumbs in his beard as he was eating. A person, in other words, just like us. And to remember that and to say that he is the image of the invisible God. God made flesh for us in salvation. This is a hard thing to believe, but if we do believe it, how incredible, how amazing, how transformative. There's a story of the Roman general Pompey. You remember he's the one who was fighting with Julius Caesar for control of, at that time, the Roman Republic, but a republic that was soon crumbling into an empire. And in the land grab, Pompey went east while Caesar went west. And Pompey ended up in Judea, in Jerusalem, and took Jerusalem. And of course, the first place that he went was the temple, the greatest structure in Jerusalem. And he went into the temple. Now this was not good. You remember that the temple had a court of the Gentiles for non-Jews to go into, but they could go no further, and he went further. He went past the point where he was allowed to go. He went deep into the sanctuary of the temple. He, in fact, went to the most holy room, the Holy of Holies, where only the high priest was allowed to go. And he went in. And he was expecting to finally see what you would see in any ancient temple at its center. The statue of the God that is worshipped in that temple. And so he forces his way into the Holy of Holies and he gets inside. And you know what he sees? An empty room. Nothing. No statue. For the God of Israel is not just one of the gods of the nations, a projection of our own sense of power or our own desires for power and wealth and getting what we want by any means necessary, but the true Lord of all creation. And so he cannot be depicted in statue form, or in any graven image, or any image whatsoever. This is at the beginning of the Ten Commandments. And yet we read in Colossians this morning that Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. That when the invisible God, the Lord of all creation, the one who has brought us all into being, who by his love has desired the existence of this whole creation and has desired the existence of you, your very life, you were brought into being because he loved you into existence, but he cannot be imaged, and yet he chose to become an image for you to see. A person like you. Just like you, in all ways but one, and that is sin. For you and for your salvation, for me and for my salvation, for us and for our salvation, he did this. It is an incredible thought. It is an extraordinary idea, but more importantly, it is a true event. The truest event in all creation, in all history. That God became flesh for us and for our salvation. You see, you all know that we're sinners. We do what we shouldn't do. And we do what we know is against the love of God for us and for our neighbors. We do it anyway. We can't help ourselves. We're always looking out for number one. It just seems to be part of our fallen nature. And God could have, He could have just said what Jesus says in the gospel lesson. He could have just said, I forgive you. You know, Jesus says, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. And God could have just said, yeah, okay, I forgive you. And we would be forgiven. And that would be great. He never had to come down and become flesh for us and for our salvation. He never had to become incarnate in Jesus. He never had to become an image for us. He could have just forgiven us. And that would have been enough. But He loved us more than that. He loved us so much that He chose to forgive us in this way, to take on our very nature, to become one of us, to live with us, to walk with us, to talk with us, to share a meal with us, and to subject Himself to our sin and our evil, that very same sin and evil we enact upon one another. He did this for no other reason than for the love of you and for me and for all of us. He didn't have to. He could have just forgiven us and it would have been enough. But He wanted more. He wanted you to have an image. He wanted you to have a body into which you could be joined and dwell with Him in everlasting life. He wanted to dwell in you and have you dwell in Him. And the only thing that we need to do in response to that, and we don't even need to do it as something that we ought to do, but just something once you realize what He has done for you, you will immediately do. Give thanks in faith. This is a Sunday of thanksgiving. So let us give thanks for Jesus Christ, in whom the invisible God was made visible, in whom the love of God was poured forth unto all the world and even unto us, the least and the greatest of sinners. Amen.